Looking for no bullshit conversation about mental health? Find Learn From People Who Lived It wherever you get podcast. Search it using all one word. Learn From People Who Lived It.
Welcome to another episode of Learn From People Who Lived It.
Well, if you're looking at your screen right now, you're seeing Lori on your right. Now, Lori and I met each other a long time ago, thanks to a little bike accident that I had with my son. We're going to get to that in just a minute. But now she's a mental health clinician, licensed social worker. She's a child life specialist, which again is how you came into our lives. And you've kind of done it all, haven't you, Lori? Hospitals, rehab, camps, retreats, nonprofits, schools. I guess you're just bored out of your mind. Is that the deal?
No, I think I've experienced the gamut of kind of life and healing, and I've found and honed into my niche for me. So
I love that. That's a lot of what we're going to talk about here today. Cactus Flower Healing is the space in which you can find her now. And we're really going to talk today about just getting aware, just opening up your eyes and your ears and your mind to what your body is experiencing and trying to tune into that. But as I mentioned, you and I have a little history. And that's because one of my worst dad moments of my life was putting my son on the back seat of our bicycle, and his poor little foot got stuck in the spokes and took off a bunch of his skin. And still to this day, I'll think about that bike accident and my butt cheeks will clench. I mean, it's that kind of feeling where it's like, oh, God. I mean, it was tough, but it ended up putting us in the burn unit. There's our little buddy, Gordy, right there. You can see him on the screen. And you were like, you were the one. I mean, yes, there was doctors and nurses, but I mean, you're the only one we remember from that stay. And you were really responsible for kind of helping Gordy through all of that stuff. That's his little wrap that he had to wear. I'll spare everybody the gory details, but I'll tell you, about a year later, that's what it looked like, which is miraculous from where it started. But do you remember our little family walking through the doors that day?
I do. That I do. Very scared and nervous and overwhelmed, I think, all three.
Oh, man. It was such a weird space for all of us, because what had happened was some of his skin off his ankle had come off, and so much of it had come off that they basically had to treat it like a burn. And so we ended up in the burn unit where you were working, and you were like, well, Gordy called you iPad girl, right? You were the girl that came with the toys and the iPad and the coloring books just to take his mind off. And how long did you have that job?
I worked there at that hospital for a good close to 10 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, thanks for being you, because at one of the scariest points in our life, you know, you were right there. And I'll tell everybody right now, look at Gordy now. He is fine, happy, healthy, healed, and as tall as I am. It's terrifying. Well, listen, I want to jump into your line of expertise. It's why you're here. You work every single day in this space. And you and I, before we jumped on, I was like, all right, let's talk a little bit about what your passions are. And you said, man, I just love it when people can get self-aware surrounding their mind, their body, their feelings, all the things. And so before we do that, what's the benefit of that? Why would somebody even want to do that, Lori? Why would somebody want to get self-aware about what's going on?
Well, I think really learning to find your own kind of best balance and happy in this world requires knowing yourself, you know, on the outside as well as knowing yourself on the inside. I mean, knowing where your mind's at, knowing where your thoughts are at, knowing what's going on around you and within you. And it's really establishing that communication patterns externally and internally, that cognitive and somatic awareness, because that's what really helps us experience life to the breadth that we're able to.
It's a great way to say that. So, okay, what do you mean for somebody who doesn't really understand what we're talking about? What does it mean to be self-aware of my feelings? I don't even, you know, I clearly know what that is, because I'm overly involved with my feelings. But for somebody who hasn't plugged in really at all and struggles when people talk about that, how do you define it?
Really? I mean, emotions and feelings can encompass us in a variety of different ways. I mean, there's a verbal awareness of it. There's a cognitive awareness. There's a sense of it within our bodies and how we feel it and how it presents. So it's mentally, emotionally, physically. Probably the best way or method that I can think of in getting and becoming more self-aware is what I like to call a simple RAIN practice, R-A-I-N. One of my most favorite practices to really get externally and internally where you're coming at. So R, recognize, taking a brief body scan and just recognizing what's going on in my body right now. What emotions, feelings, sensations are coming up? A, allowing it to come up and sitting with it and being present with it. Because how often do we push away different sensations, emotions, feelings, things as they arise throughout our day? I mean, we don't have time for that. I mean, I'm a mom of three kids and a working individual and a wife, and it's hard to manage and balance everything. I investigate, why might this be coming up for me? Am I spreading myself too thin somewhere? Am I stretched beyond belief? Did something happen that triggered me back to my past? Mm-hmm. And then N, what can I do to nurture myself through this feeling, this experience, this sensation? That is probably if not one of my favorite and greatest activities, practices to really start becoming more aware of yourself and the feelings, sensations that you sit with on the daily.
Yeah. You know me, I love to get real world applications about all this stuff because we spend too much talking about these things. And it's like, well, I want to help somebody apply this to their life today. So, And I love RAIN. It's a great acronym for what needs to happen in almost every situation, from work to, you know, to being a wife, to being a partner, all those things. You know, you really need to recognize that is that first step. You know, I call it discovery. You really have to say, what's going on? Is there something going on here? That's the first step, right? And so when you talk about, when you say realize, what kinds of little discoveries are you talking about? And be specific if you don't mind.
Yeah. So in recognizing and really being aware of kind of what sits inside you, what's my heartbeat doing right now? What's my breath doing right now? Am I breathing really shallow? Am I breathing really rapidly? Am I sweating profusely? Do I have a really bad headache? Is there tension in my neck? So often we recognize the physical signs and symptoms, but we don't connect with them where they could be coming from. They could be coming from a certain situation, from the emotions that encompass that situation. And I think that's, you know, a great way and manner to really kind of recognizing and connecting all the factors that go on with our emotional and mental health.
Yeah. So it really is. I hope people are keying in on this, right? Like it's not, and the reason I'm having you go through this is because I don't want to overcomplicate it. I don't want to make this more complicated than it is. It's not. It's literally, you know, I tell everybody get to wherever you have to go 15, 20 minutes early, and then just sit in your car and find yourself. And, you know, you can sit in that car for 10 minutes and you can start at the toes and you'd be like, all right, you know, do my feet hurt? Are my feet comfortable right now? And how do my calves feel? How do my knees feel? How do my thighs feel? How's my butt feel? How are my hips doing? How's my stomach? And I'm serious about that. Like that's a good checklist to kind of go through. And then I love how you take it a step further with really the emotional. When you said RAIN, did you say that A was for aware?
A is for allow. So allowing yourself to sit with it. Allowing yourself to sit with an experience, which is hugely empowering because it proves to ourselves that we can. And that's a big kind of anxiety cause. It's like, I can't sit with this. It's too uncomfortable. It's too disturbing. It's no, but we can for a few minutes. So it proves to ourselves the capability that we have to do things and that it's usually not quite as overwhelming, scary, difficult as we think.
90 seconds. I have a good friend of mine. She's a doc in this space too. She says it takes 90 seconds to move through a fear cycle. And so, you know, I love that because it's temporary, right? And to me, this is the one thing that as somebody who's come out the other side and done a lot of mental wellness work on myself over the last year, this is the one piece that I really sucked at. Was allowing myself to feel the emotions. I think as an adult, I don't even want to say just a man, but as an adult, especially one who's a parent who has children, it's very easy to be like, I can't allow this right now. There's no time for this right now. It's not about me. It's about these kids. And that's something you have to do sometimes, but it can't be the only way in which you operate it. And too many times we don't even allow ourselves an opportunity to just kind of feel what just happened to us, do we?
Mm-hmm. That's a very true statement. And especially I think as a parent, it's not only being aware and being present and kind of recognizing where you're coming from, but flip side, where your kids are coming from. I mean, this same practice with children, super simple, easy to do. Drawing like a simple body and having them color, or what's hurting today? What's bothering you today? And then you can carry on a conversation about, you know, what that might this be, labeling and teaching about feelings and how they present. It's such a great self-awareness for ourselves, but also for the children in our lives too, for those of us who are parents, caregivers, providers in some way.
I just think that's the coolest thing in the world. You guys can totally rain out together, you know, a few times a week and right. Like rain out, let's connect. Let's get together at the breakfast table. And what a neat thing. I love this idea of drawing a stick figure for little ones and just saying, hey, are there any parts of your body that feel a little weird right now, or don't feel like they normally feel right now? Because you're right. Kids can't articulate those things. And so for them to be able to do that, and then you're doing the exercise right alongside them, that's such a really cool thing.
Well, and that's just the key, I feel like, as a parent, sometimes you have to figure out ways where you can kind of mingle two tasks together. And this, I don't like the phrase as a task, because this is a life skill. This is a life skill. And like, this is a soul care routine right here. Like literally getting in check with yourself each day, modeling that to your child, modeling that to yourself, labeling, naming, putting it out there. That's becoming your authentic you, which is really what and how we all want to be in this world, is our most authentic selves.
Yeah. So here's the question, you know, as I dive into this with a lot of people, the one area of struggle that you get with folks is when it comes time for them to have to pay attention to themselves, it feels unnatural. It feels selfish because, you know, especially if you're kind of an empath or you're somebody who went through some shit on the way up, you know, you're going to be sensitive to trying to make a room right. And you're going to be sensitive to trying to, you know, calm the fires every chance you go. And so for people like that, like me, it was really unnatural for a while to put myself first in any kind of thinking, let alone any kind of action. So how do we help folks understand that that's not selfish? You know, I can't just say it's not selfish to put yourself first. How do you help people understand that?
That's a really great question. I mean, I think for me, what tends to help the most is thinking of someone who I really truly care about, you know, my children, my spouse, my family. Do they deserve time for themselves? Am I not as valuable and as worthy of that time as them? Guilt plays such a role in kind of picking and choosing what and how we do with our lives and our days. But there's guilt that's intentional, meaningful, valuable. And there's guilt that pushes us to greater self-destruction. If I'm not taking time for me, then I don't have sufficient of my own skills, talents, and abilities to really pour out on others in the way that I want to.
Yeah. Could we help people even more, Lori, right now and just say, what's a good example of some self-care? Like if you really are at a deficiency right now, you're like a self-love deficiency, you haven't paid attention to yourself in a long time, and your body and your mind, you know, feel and look like it, right? Like you just don't feel like yourself. And so we're telling you, be selfish, put yourself first, go ahead and throw yourself at number one in the position there of 1, 2, 3 for a while. What would you advise somebody to say? And I don't want to use the word advice, gets us into a little bit of a gray area, but give me some thoughts that you have on the subject regarding how to start self-love.
I am a big fan of this because number one, my big key thing is self-compassion. Mm. The majority of the critique and the harm in this world can be initiated in healing with your own self-compassion. And it doesn't have to be or look big. I mean, you don't have to, like as a female, like go out and have an entire spa day or get a facial or whatsoever. It can be as simple as, you know, closing your eyes and taking a few minutes tuning into your breath and just deepening and lengthening your breath and just feeling more settled in your own body. It can be as simple as spending, you know, 2-3 minutes journaling a little bit about your day, and maybe specific journaling as far as, you know, what are a few things that I'm grateful for? You know, what has my body done today that I'm proud of? What has my mind done? What is my heart doing? Or as simple as, you know, taking a walk. Now, living in Arizona, taking a walk early in the morning, right, and just enjoying a little bit like some of the nature around you. If you're a busy parent, I mean, heck, going to the bathroom by yourself and just kind of getting in your own head space and having a bit of separation, that can be a little bit of self-care and self-nurture. So it can really vary greatly the what you had, but it's spending some time intentionally focusing on you. That's that start of that compassion, is tuning into your own heart, your own mind, your own headspace.
Yeah, and I noticed this. A lot of people want to hack, and it just doesn't exist. Self-care is basic and simple. It's, I drink water when I'm thirsty. I eat good food when I'm hungry. I get rest when I'm tired. And then that piece you just mentioned, you know, I give myself a little grace. I give myself some self-compassion and let myself off the hook for some of this stuff that I've been choosing. We have to use that word, choosing to hang on to. And I'm a big fan of what you've got going on here, because I think that just in the last few minutes, there's a couple of really cool, tangible things that people can run away from this podcast and start to use in their lives all the time. I want to just maybe wrap up on a discussion point. And that discussion point is this word that I'm not sure exists, which is, people use it though still, is balance. I'm leaning towards removing balance from my life and starting to use the word flow more, because to me, that seems to be, at least for folks like me who struggled mentally, that was the problem, right? It was like, You always wanted to feel the highs. And so you always wanted to be up here, and you were crap when you were down here. But what I'm learning is that the more I can learn to go from up here to down here, the more I can learn to just flow, actually the better I'm getting. So what do you think about that? What do you think about that exchange of words?
I love that you bring that up, because that is probably one of my biggest learnings of this past year, is that balance is not static. And the world views it as this static place that you get to. Whereas rather, it's when you come to view it, if you choose to use that word, as shifting, as daily, hourly at times, going up and down and finding that best, you know, shifting balance and place and space for yourself, or that best flow, or that best, you know, internal energy that fits all situations, circumstances, yourself at the moment. But I think that's a big realization of just life requires us to shift, adjust, move. We're both human beings and human doings, and both of them coexist together within ourselves, which means that we're not going to stay some static individual place and space.
As we wrap up, I would love to know, you started, you know, your own private practice after years of doing, you know, things different ways. And obviously, you know, you usually get into a private practice because you're looking to find a niche and find a space. And you've probably found yourself in a place that you're pretty comfortable. So who is somebody that could and should reach out to you, Lori, because you're so fantastic on a million different levels. And if anybody's watching this, like, maybe I should call her. What kinds of people should call you?
Well, I'm going to clarify first. This is not my private practice. I work.
But you're part of it.
Yes.
Yeah. You're part of it, right?
Yes. I'm part of an amazing women and really kind of women run an empowered business called Cactus Flower Healing. We are a private practice. We primarily focus on anxiety, attachment, trauma, grief, mom issues. I would say anyone dealing with any of the above, but we also see some males too. I mean, mental health needs are everyone in this world. So I would say, if you are struggling yourself with how to manage these chaotic times, with how to manage your internal and external world, with some past stuff, with some future worries. I mean, if you want to get and learn how to find and really become more in tune with who you are and how you want to live in this world, that's how you would reach out. We are pretty easily available, www.cactusflowerhealing.com. We have a variety of different therapists that I've mentioned. But yeah, we'd love to, you know, help you heal, help you grow, help you blossom.
Amen to that. I love it. Well, it's been great to spend some time with you and see you again. Truth be told, we actually ran into each other on Father's Day at brunch. And it was kind of cool. What did you think of that spot?
It was a beautiful spot. I mean, man, I'd never been there before, so it was great. So to go to a new place and, you know, meet an old friend, it's a right. double win.
I thought the place was loud as hell. They had like these low ceilings that were, I don't know what it was, but didn't it feel like a concert in there?
It was a little bit chaotic noise-wise, but I'll go to that type of place for the food, so.
Yeah, buddy. All right. Well, listen, get back to your awesome life, Lori, and thank you so much for being a part of this thing on Learn From People Who Lived It.
I am happy to. Have a great day.
We have three goals with Learn From People Who Lived It. One, to help you feel less alone. Two, encourage you to seek out a coach, a therapist, a church, anyone who can help you get through your journey and find some healing. Three, when you're ready, share your story with us.
Find Learn From People Who Lived It wherever you get podcasts. Search it using all one word, Learn From People Who Lived It.